One, Styles and Watkins. We are back 10 a.m., 2 p.m., and we are joined by NFL Hall of Fame QB Warren Moon. And that's all thanks to Jiffy Lube. Sacktown Sports Road Trip to Radio Row in Las Vegas is brought to you by our friends at Jiffy Lube. When it's time for a road trip, visit Jiffy Lube for all your automotive maintenance needs. Jiffy Lube is your road trip headquarters. Warren Moon, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Really appreciate it. I go back with your producer here a long way. Me and Jay, you know, people probably think we're dating. We've been together.
I love you, Warren. I love you.
You know that? Well, that's I love you too, but not like that.
Right, exactly. And Warren, we were talking a little bit before we got on here about what you're here representing, the NFL Alumni Community Programs, the Better Business Bureau, Heart of Texas Foundation. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, this program is being launched today, and it's being launched in San Antonio, Austin, and also Fort Worth. That's where we're going to start the program, but it's going to be a nationwide program, especially in the 32 markets of the National Football League. But basically, it's NFL alumni that have learned all the different lessons from sports and what made them successful. But everybody in communities can't be an athlete. So, right. But you can be involved in business and things like that. So those same lessons that we learn, we're going to try and translate those lessons into young business leaders to teach them what it takes to be successful in business. So that's basically what that program is all about.
No, that's awesome. And I mean, I know it's just a huge part of any athlete's post career is to kind of get into that kind of stuff. And you see, you know, Magic Johnson doing big things in the business world. Do you have any inspirations in terms of, you know, where you kind of picked up the charitable? I mean, of course, always being charitable, but, you know, where you really found where you wanted to, what lanes you wanted to fill in your post career?
You know, I think a lot of mine started just from my mom, the way she was giving in our community.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't have a whole lot, but whatever she had, she offered to different people in the neighborhood. The fact that I was able to be successful and give back because there was a lot of programs that gave to me when I was a young kid growing up, whether it was a vacation Bible school at my church, whether it was a boys club or Cub Scouts or Boy Scouts, all the different sports I was involved in. All those things kept me on the straight and narrow and kept me away from the gangs and all the different other stuff that was in the neighborhoods where I grew up. So now I'm at a point or have been at a point where I could give back to some of those same kids who come out of those same environments. Maybe I can change some lives the way, you know, people changed my life and kept me going in the right direction. So that's kind of basically why I do it. And as an NFL quarterback, you have an ability to motivate people and make change in people's lives. You either choose to not do anything about it or you choose to do about it. And I just chose to do about it.
Talking to Warren Moon, NFL Hall of Fame quarterback. Now, Warren, you had a bit of an unconventional track to the NFL, the CFL, five straight titles in the CFL. Do you see any, I guess, similarities in your story and maybe Brock Purdy and just the idea of people maybe doubting him based on where he was drafted or not necessarily being the guy that we all watch at the combine or we didn't watch him play in the college football playoffs, something like that? Does it feel like he's had to climb a larger mountain than some of these other guys?
Well, I think our journey, everybody has their own journey. His journey was totally different than mine because, first of all, he was drafted.
Right.
And he was drafted in the seventh round. I had 12 rounds in our draft, and I wasn't drafted in any of those.
Man.
And a lot of it didn't have anything to do with me playing quarterback.
Right.
There's differences there, but I understand what you're talking about. You know, Brock is having to live down the fact that he was Mr. Irrelevant, and people think that because he wasn't drafted high, he shouldn't be as good. And because he's being successful is because of all the people that are around him. Well, Tom Brady was a sixth round draft pick. He played pretty well too.
Yeah.
And when you win seven Super Bowls as a sixth round draft pick, what are they saying about him? Does Brock Purdy have to win, you know, six Super Bowls now to all of a sudden be good enough to play in the league? I mean, the kid went to the NFC Championship game last year. He got hurt. Mm-hmm. Who knows? He could have been in the Super Bowl last year. And now he's got his team in the Super Bowl in his second year. He's got a lot of growth ahead of him. But everybody keeps wanting to label him as a guy that's just on a very talented team. Show me a team that's not good, that's talented. I mean, this good, that's not talented.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to ask you is, I mean, a lot of Brock's criticism is the fact that he has tons of talent around him. And yet there's been San Francisco 49ers quarterbacks who have had tons of talent around them and found success.
Oh, my God.
What do you feel about just that conversation and just your two cents on all that?
It's just too bad that he's been labeled that way. But, you know, by a lot of the media has labeled that him that. And he's having to live with that and having to answer those questions every week. All he does is keep advancing through the playoffs. He won two of those playoff games for them with his legs and his arm. Mm-hmm. He had to bring them from behind, first of all, because their defense hasn't played that great throughout the playoffs. And, he, you know, last week he has the big runs, the big scrambles, the big throws. I mean, what more does the kid have to do to show everybody that he can play quarterback and he's really good? Now, is he elite? I don't know that yet. Mm-hmm. He hasn't been in the league long enough.
Right.
But what makes an elite quarterback to me is guys who they take what the game plan is and they can run that game plan to perfection. But what happens when a play breaks down? What happens when a linebacker comes through unblocked? What happens when a defensive end comes off the edge and beats his guy? Can you make those extended plays? Can you make those special plays where you have to use your legs to get outside the pocket and buy time and make a throw, or you have to make a scramble? He's shown that he can do that too. And that's what starts to make elite guys elite. When the Lamar Jacksons, when the Patrick Mahomes, when the Josh Allens are making those types of plays, that's what make them special players. So I don't know. I feel bad for the kid because here he is in the Super Bowl and still having to answer questions if he's good enough or not.
Yeah. And trust me, that term game manager has been used probably about 100,000 times just today.
Every quarterback is a game manager.
Yep. Mm. Every good one, at least, right?
Mark my lips from that. Every quarterback is a game manager. That's what you're asked to do as a quarterback, is to manage the game plan, to do the things, to audible when you need to audible, to get your team in the right protection, to know where your blitz reads are. All those things come within your game plan, right? But again, when something in one of those plays breaks down, what can you do to make a negative play into a positive play? And that's what the elite guys were able to do. But every quarterback is asked to manage the game no matter what offense he's in.
Mm. Talking to Warren Moon, NFL Hall of Fame quarterback. And Warren, you alluded to some reasons why you were not drafted, even when there were 12 rounds. And I've been thinking about this, so hang with me here. When you hear the term now, dual threat quarterback, I've thought about this the last play against the Packers, right? And Love maybe had an opportunity to run. Do you think that there are any situations where maybe black quarterbacks decide not to use their legs because they want to stay away from the stigma of being that running quarterback, even when it's the right decision? Because sometimes I'm watching, I'm thinking, you got it right there, but they want to show that they can see the field and they're not just, you know, using the escape valve to run immediately. Maybe it's just me watching, but sometimes I look and thinking, I wonder, am I making this up, or do they not want to be known as a quote-unquote dual threat or running quarterback?
You know, I'm sure that's something they think about when they have a chance to think, but I think in the heat of a battle, I don't know if you're thinking that when you make a throw like he made in that game. And I think that was the only mistake he made in that game. It really surprised me that he made that throw. Not the fact that he didn't run it, but there was another guy right in front of him that he probably could have threw a shorter pass to. But other than that, that's about the only big mistake he made in that football game, but it happened to be the biggest. I remember Donovan McNabb when he was playing. At one point, he was criticized by the NAACP that he wasn't scrambling enough and that he was staying in the pocket on purpose and wasn't using his legs. Yeah, if you ever talked to Donovan,
ask him about that.
Yeah. I was once called an Uncle Tom by a African-American reporter because I didn't break the single game record when I had a chance to break it when I was with the Houston Oilers. So you just never can – you never can satisfy everybody. Right. You know, I decided to come out of the game because we were winning and there was no reason for me to stay in there and just keep throwing the ball. I only needed like 30 something more yards, but I wasn't going to stay in and just keep throwing it. So yeah, I was called that by this guy. So
man,
you just can't satisfy everyone about everything that you're doing. But hopefully that guys are able to use the right judgment when they make a play, whether with their legs or with their arm, being able to have the ability to do that. A lot of guys don't have that ability. So the question is, when do you make the move to use your legs? When do you use your arm? And if you have that ability to do that, and that's what I think Patrick does a great job of, he knows when to run. He knows when to to throw the football, even though he's on the move.
Warren, I'm a Minnesota Vikings fan, so I got to see, I've seen some of your later career stuff, but when you talk about Patrick Mahomes, what's one thing from Patrick Mahomes' game that you just watch and you're like, I cannot believe that a guy can do this?
His fearlessness. He's just, he doesn't seem he fears anything, you know? He really doesn't. And I love that about his game. He'll take on anybody. He'll take a hit and throw the football. Like, he took a big hit in the playoff game. Who's that against? The one where he scrambled all around. I think it was, I want to say it was against Baltimore. And he ended up throwing like a wounded duck pass. And Kelce reached out and dove. And he took a tremendous shot on that play. But he held the ball as long as he possibly could until he finally got rid of it. And those are those fearless type plays that I really have a lot of respect for him for.
Warren, we're sitting here and making sure we do our research on everyone, talking to Warren Moon, NFL Hall of Fame quarterback. And I'm double checking this thing. I know the Wi-Fi's been a little slow, but you played till you were 44? That's incredible.
I know.
That's incredible.
And we're talking. I can still sit here and talk about it. I can walk away from here without limping.
Yeah.
You know, the good Lord has been really, really good to me. He blessed me with taking care of my health while I played. I had injuries, but nothing that was really major, no like ACLs or separated shoulders or anything like that. And then I took really good care of myself. I think I had a lot to do with it as well. And then I was smart about when I did run and when I did throw.
Right. Yeah.
I learned very quickly when I came in the NFL after I got hit by a strong safety named Donnie Shell, who's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I'm like, I'm staying in the pocket from now on. I'm just going to dump the ball off to the rest of my guys.
Right, right. All right, Warren, before we get you out of here, we need your pick. Do the Niners get number 6, or does Patrick Mahomes cement the Chiefs as a dynasty?
Well, you know, I played my last 2 years in Kansas City.
Yeah.
And so I've got kind of a little bit of Chiefs blood still in my veins. Mm-hmm. And I met Patrick when he was a rookie coming in the league, because we were represented by the same guy, Lee Steinberg. So I know him. So I'm going with the Chiefs. And I think if the game is close, which I think it's going to be, he'll find a way to either make the play to win the game, or if he has the ball with 3 or 4 minutes left, he'll find a way to run the clock out.
Yeah. There you go. Warren Moon, thank you so much. NFL Hall of Fame QB, and thank you for everything you're doing with the NFL Alumni Community Programs, Better Business Bureau, Heart of Texas Foundation. Thank you so much, Warren. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Sir,
really appreciate
you.
It. All right. Enjoy your week.
Same to you.
Got
to
be careful.
Yes, we will.
That's
we
the
will.
Important part.
We will. Got to get to a break. When we get back, more Siles and Watkins from Vegas. Thanks to Jiffy Lube, Sactown Sports. Oil changes, tire rotations, your overall car maintenance, think Jiffy Lube. Jiffy Lube is the place to take your car for your next road trip. Jiffy Lube, proud sponsor of Siles and Watkins Radio Row Road Trip to Las Vegas. Joined by Jake Martin, Indianapolis Colts linebacker. And Jake, I'm going to start now because, Jay, all right, he's running around. He's getting all these UT people. He went to Texas. But I said, you know what? Hold on now. I'm doing my research on everybody. I said, hold on now. We got T for Temple U in the building. We got to shout out Jake Martin. Jake, thank you so much for being on the show, man.
There you go.
There we go. Thank you guys so much for having me, man. I really appreciate it. You know, shout out to all the Temple fans and alumni out there.
Mm-hmm.
But there's only one UT that I know.
That's right.
The University of Temple.
That's right. Man. That's right. That's what
Temple
I like
University.
To hear.
Not Temple University. University of Temple. And Temple Tough. You know, appreciate y'all, boys.
Yeah.
Good. That's great stuff, man. That's great stuff. So let's just start here. Obviously, we're out here in Sacramento. We talk a bunch of Niners. And Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, you went in the 6th round. Talk about some of the difficulties of waiting and waiting and waiting. And once you get to those later rounds, just wondering. Then once you get in the league, I mean, a lot of these player podcasts now, they're talking about, yeah, I was better than so-and-so, but he went in the 1st round. So talk about coming in as a later draft pick and how you might have that chip on your shoulder to prove that I should be here.
Hey, man. I think that – well, first of all, I got a completely different viewpoint from, you know, the blue chip boys from college. You know, for me, at Temple, dog, we was, you know, getting out the mud.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? No grass on campus type.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? and then just getting the opportunity to forge my body and my skill set against guys like Deion Dawkins and with Hassan Reddick, Sharif Finch, P.J. Walker, you know, Tyler Matakevich. You know, the list goes on in terms of talent that's come out of Temple over the years. But, you know, for me, getting drafted in the sixth round, in my mind, I knew I could play this game, you know. And I was fortunate enough that, you know, my older brother Josh played in the NFL for a little while. And, you know, we were talking about it as I'm going through the process. And he put it to me as, man, this is the same football that you've played your whole life, though. Everyone's just a little bit bigger, but so are you. Everyone's a little bit faster, but so are you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the same. If you change the game or make it bigger than what it is, man, at the end of the day, it's a child game, man.
Right. Yeah.
It's a child's game.
Yeah.
So regardless of where you get drafted, whether it's drafted or undrafted, you need your foot in the door, dog.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about, I mean, how, you know, coming from Temple, it feels like, you know, looking at your career, you've made a couple different stops. Last week we played sound of Nick Bosa after the game talking with Brock Purdy about, man, how do you stay confident? Like, I'm a defensive player of the year, a second pick in the draft. Like, even I have confidence issues. How do you stay so positive and just continue to grind when, you feel like almost everything's working against you?
Man, I think that's part of this game, man.
Yeah.
It's all – in my opinion, it's all an illusion. Like, yes, there's – You have all these other factors putting pressure on what you're trying to do or trying to accomplish, man. But if you keep your goal simple, or you keep your mindset simple, man, of control what you can control, you know, and just follow that purpose that God has for you, then everything's always going to play out, man. And the confidence comes from the work you put in, right? And that's not me, like, you know, guys may come across certain players in different leagues, whether it be, you know, football or baseball or basketball, you know, guys work for their ability to be able to talk trash, to be able to talk, you know, to talk the way that, to talk their talk. You know what I'm saying? So that confidence is just, you know, that work that they put in for it. You know what I mean? And I think everyone's always going to have their doubts in everything, whether that be sport, relationship, you know, religion. Everyone's going to have their doubts, and it shows up on all aspects of your life. But it's a choice, man. If you think at the end of the day, you choose, you dictate how you really want to feel. Yes, you may have an immediate reaction of disappointment or anger or something like that, but you can, all right, cool, I got this, let me move forward, take the next step, make the next, like what I tell myself, my life's philosophy, you know, two things that I always tell myself is never lie to yourself and always make the next best decision. No matter where you, no matter what got you in that situation, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, make the next best one for you.
Yeah.
And you'll never be wrong.
Talking to Jake Martin, Colts linebacker, pride of Temple University.
Temple Tough.
All right, Jake. We're seeing a lot of athletes here, okay? And there are some large humans, okay? What were your first impressions, though, when you saw Anthony Richardson, either just from stature or to just what he does on the field? What were your first impressions when you saw that dude?
Okay, so, you know, I ended up in Indy after training camp. I spent time in training camp in Houston, you know, and another, like, all the rookie buzz, you know, coming into camp, you know, you got some serious talent at quarterback, a lot of good quarterbacks taken off the board early in that first day. And then just, like, you know, being around and, you know, I'm an athlete. I like to watch, you know, sports in my free time, and whether it's sports news or something like that or Good Morning Football. You know, just seeing his little highlights that they would have. I'm not going to call them little highlights, but the little clips about him.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the little clips I saw of him spinning it.
Yeah.
Dog. It don't even compare in person.
Yeah.
It's effortless. I'm talking about, like, effortless out of his hand.
Yeah.
Same thing with CJ.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Same exact thing. Like, it's ridiculous, man. Because I played with Russell Wilson. I played with Deshaun. You know, I played with, you know, Gardner, like, I play with good quarterbacks, you know what I mean? I saw Joe Flacco when I was in New York, you know what I mean? So, like, I played with good quarterbacks, man. And those guys, those two young cats right there make it look easy.
How early did you know on them? Because, you said you spent camp in Houston.
I mean, I first saw CJ, I was like, oh, this dude, really?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Did you thought rookie, like, potential, like, that kind of potential? Yeah.
Like, this is OTAs, I'm thinking this. Like, my agent called me because, like, I'd left Denver to come to go back to Houston. And my agent called me after, like, that first week of OTAs. He's like, yo, so what are you thinking? You know, how is, you know, ask me questions about CJ. Ask me questions about, when I got the Indy, ask me questions about AR. I was like, yo, dude. And not only are they great athletes, man, but they got their heads on straight, dog. Especially for young dudes to come into this game. You have, you know, social media and media, everyone telling that you're great, family members telling that you're great. But to have, to be a humble human, a humble servant to the guys in the locker room that you're competing with and trying to win for, that gains you win the locker room over that way, man. You approach the game that way.
Yeah.
You know, with a mind to learn rather than to like act like you got it all together, man, because you're a rookie, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I appreciate guys that come in and understand that I don't know everything. This is me starting all over on the totem pole, you know. So commend both of those guys, man.
Yeah.
Two great young guys right there.
You have to do it in high school. You got to start all over. You got to do it in college when you start all over. And if you're good enough to get to the league, you got to start all over as well. Before we get to the pick, man, when you brought up no grass on campus, I played baseball at Temple. We didn't have any grass either. We out to Ambler on a bus. I mean, we grinded, man. So I already know what it is. Before we get you out of here, Jake Martin, Colts linebacker, who you got on Sunday, man?
Man, to be honest, I hate to say this. Like, I mean, I don't hate to say this, man. The assumption is that the Chiefs are going to win.
Yeah.
Right? You know, the NFL is putting out all these stats of, you know, two head coaches rematching, you know, the favorites and the previous victor's odds, all that kind of stuff. You know, all the crazy next-gen stats they pull out. Man, but I would love to see the Niners win, man. You know, shout out to my boy Christian McCaffrey. That's my dog, man. We've known each other for a long time, man. Like, I've known that man since seventh grade.
Damn.
Really? How'd that happen?
He's kicked my ass a lot.
You're like, I need to get to know that name.
Yeah, man. I don't think I've ever beat Christian, bro, to be honest. But, you know, we trained together in the offseason, man. We trained together in high school. And,
right.
We did our, you know, draft prep and stuff like that, man.
That's
together.
Awesome.
You know, I'm just excited for that guy, man, because that dude works his tail off, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He deserves nothing but that, man.
That's awesome.
There you go. There you go. Jake Martin, thank you so much. Continued success, man, in your career. You seem like a great dude. And, of course, because we're cut from the same cloth, thank you so much. And enjoy the rest of your time in Vegas.
Hey, man, thank you. I appreciate y'all having me.
Absolutely.
Got to get to a break. When we get back, more Styles and Watkins live from Las Vegas. Thanks to Jiffy Lube, Sactown Sports. Big thanks to Jake Martin, T for Temple U. That's just been awesome.
Yeah.
Right? It's all been awesome.
That was a one for me, one for you kind of situation Jay, where he was like, all right, let me give Allen a Temple.
And we can peel back the curtain a little bit now that we had him on, because a lot of people are behind because there's so many interviews going on.
Behind.
And actually his people came up to us and said that they were going to cancel.
Yeah.
And I'm not making this up here. Chris heard me. Yep. I said, hey, when you talk to him, tell him one of the hosts went to Temple. And he popped up. He popped up what?
Almost instantly.
About like 5 minutes
almost
later.
Almost instantly.
Jay was shook. See, Jay think he got all the pull.
Exactly.
I got some pull, too.
I got mini pull.
Pull your sneak up.
He was like, hey. Jay, he told the handler. Jake, he said, hey.
I was saying how Jake was a no-go.
Yeah.
I got Jake back.
You put the pressure on him?
I had to let him know.
TJ Scott over
there.
We got to do it for Philly.
Yeah.
TJ Scott, wide receiver for the Bears, man. What's up, brother? Nice to meet you, man. 49.
Jay is out here.
I know. Literally live, bro.
As we go, because this is, you know, this is how it's got to be done.
Absolutely.
Anything else happen? Any buyouts?
I don't think so.
There we go.
Awesome. Coolio, man. Thank you for hopping on.
We are joined now. That just happened right in front of
me. I know, literally.
With the fresh red joints on CT.
No, I like that. Tyler Scott, wide receiver for the Bears. Thank you for joining us, man.
With the VIP badge.
No problem.
With the VIP badge. Of course. Man, so just tell us how it's been with the Bears, right? You got the Justin Fields situation is a hot topic. There are a bunch of quarterbacks that we're trying to see what happens next. But for those who – so out here, in Sacramento, Northern California, that's the same draft as Trey Lance. And it was a very – it's become a very interesting – it's become a very interesting draft. Tell us about Justin Fields and just what you've seen from him and why, if you're a Bears fan, you should believe in him.
Yeah, I mean, so maybe I'm a little biased. You know, I grew up an Ohio State fan. You know, I'm from Akron, Ohio, and so there's one team that you love to play for and you grew up wishing you can play for, and that's Ohio State.
Yeah.
And so, you know, seeing Justin, you know, obviously transfer from Georgia you know, to Ohio State, that was big. You know, back where I'm from, you know, that's huge. And so, you know, I already had some love for him already as a player, seeing how dynamic he was, just seeing the type of style he played, the type of game he had, and, you know, took us to the national championship, took Ohio State to the national championship, you know. And so I just seen the toughness that he had, you know, took some hits versus Clemson. I can remember getting smacked in the rib, but kept on playing, man. Mm-hmm. And you just seen the toughness that he had. Threw one of the most beautiful deep balls to Chris Olave versus Clemson that same game. So you just kind of seen, you know, what he had. And then, you know, then getting drafted to seeing, like, man, you're playing with Justin Fields. It was like, man, I get to play with Justin Fields, man.
Yeah.
You know, and like I said, back at home, like, everybody was, like, going crazy because, like, it's a big deal. Mm. And so now meeting him, meeting a dude, meeting a person behind the, you know, behind the face mask. And he's just such a humble guy, you know what I'm saying? And even through, like, this whole – period of, you know, had media and all these outside noises, you know, he's in the process of, you know, in the middle of during the season trying to lead a team, trying to lead a city, you know, try to be QB1 and, you know, just having to deal with all those pressures from the outside, not knowing, man, is this my last rodeo here, and all these different things, man. I think, you know, what really stands out to me was how much of a pro he's been, you know, through this whole situation. He haven't heard him, you know, slander anybody or, you know, put anybody under the bus or just any of that things. You know, he's just always been, you know, even keeled. He's always been humble about how he's approached the game of football, how he's approached life. Been very open about his faith, which is, I can tell, is definitely his foundation, you know, from, you know, for how, you know, how he speaks and how he makes his decisions. And so, like I said, he's just a good dude, man, and, you know, outside of football. But then you get on the football field, you see how explosive he is, you see the plays he makes, you see the growth he's had since he's, you know, came into the season. And like I said, he's just a real good dude, just real good dude. And, you know, when I, you know, just – and the fan support too, you know what I'm saying? Just kind of when he – the stardom that he has, you know, just walking around and, you know, just everybody chanting Justin Fields' name. They were chanting his name in the our last home game. You know, we want Justin. We want Fields. And, you know, just hearing the crowd chant that for him, you know, I felt for him, you know, in a way. And he kind of gave a, like, a little, like, kind of goodbye, you know. You know, kind of saying, like, man, if this is it, you know, if this is the last time and I appreciate everything, you know, you guys done for me and I gave it all I had. And, you know, for me, it just kind of, you know, tugged at my heartstrings because it's just like, man, you know the person, you know.
Yeah.
You know the dude. And, you know, just to be in that situation, I couldn't imagine. So, but no, he's a tough dude, a hard worker. Mentally, I think his mental toughness is what really stands out, you know, for sure. Just through everything he's been through injuries, always getting hit, you know, from the refs. Like, he didn't get one, you know, penalty this year for you know, for a late hit on the quarterback.
That's crazy.
Really?
Wow. Not one.
Wow. Yeah.
Not one. Not one. And he had been hit multiple times.
Yeah.
Tonight,
yeah.
So, like I said, just a real good dude, you know, moving forward.
Yeah. I mean, you say you're from Ohio. Ohio, I feel like, is one of those places that's really slept on when it comes to the talent that comes out there.
Sure.
I mean, obviously LeBron is the biggest name, but even the Kelseys went to Ohio.
Yeah.
I mean, you went to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
They went to Cincinnati as well.
Yeah.
Just talk about, I mean, when you think of football recruits, the states that are going to come to mind is the Californias,
yeah,
the Texas, the Florida.
And,
absolutely. Yes,
West
just
Coast.
Down south in
no,
general.
Definitely, definitely.
Talk about Ohio as an athlete factory.
Yeah,
almost.
I mean, you know, you mentioned it. You talk about, you know, all the schools that get mentioned. You look at, all right, what are the top schools? You'll creep down to number five, and you're going to see a Midwest school in there, and it's going to be Ohio. You know what I'm saying? We have some of the best football. You know, Cincinnati is a great city when it comes to football. You know, they got Moeller High School. They got, you know, they got Colerain High School, who has been good back in the day. They got Archbishop Hoban. They had St. Vincent St. Mary, who had Paris Campbell, you know, who was there. And Dante Booker, who played in the league. And, you know, they had, you know, so many different dudes. And, you know, even in Northeast Ohio, you know, you got Bookto High School. You got Barberton. You got, you know, I mean, there's a plethora of different schools that produce talent. Massillon, you know, they had a lot of guys, you know, pump guys out in the league. And, you know, so, I mean, when you look at it, Ohio is definitely one of those schools that can compete with, you know, teams that are in the South and, you know, on the West Coast. And then even, like I said, the colleges, you know, you got Ohio State. You got Cincinnati, who was on top. You know what I'm saying? And you got, you know, Cleveland, the Cleveland Browns, who, you know, are, you know, Northeast Ohio.
Up,
and then you got the, you know, Cincinnati Bengals. You know, so it's definitely a football state. You know, it's a passion about football. And I feel like it might be one of the only states that can really compete down south and, you know, in the West Coast when in terms of just the football and the nature of football and how much it means to them.
Tyler, real quick, I know you're getting asked about 96 football questions every single day, man. Look, I like to come with a little different situation. I see what's on your feet, brother. You know what I mean? And anybody that come in here with some all reds, I got to talk about it. Man, are you a shoe guy? If so, give me your top. It's hard to do this as shoe people, but give me your top shoe if you had to grab one throughout history.
Okay, so I'm honestly not too much of a huge shoe guy.
Okay, okay.
But if I do see a shoe and it speaks to me,
yeah,
I'm going to definitely go ahead and grab it.
Okay.
But if I had to say my top pair.
What's that go-to?
My go-to?
Yeah, man, you walking down the red carpet and, you know, you with Michelle Obama and you got to go get it. What's the one?
I'm going to probably have to go with the Travis Scott ones.
Okay. All right.
I'm gonna probably have to go with them. I love them shoes. I'm an Air Force One type of guy.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I got a whole bunch of pair of Air Force Ones. Yeah. So I like the classic look. You know what I'm saying? Nelly came out with the song, and you know what I'm saying, that blew up since then. So definitely.
Well, see, so you said the Travis Scott's, but somebody like you, you just finishing your rookie season. Are you on the sneaker app too? Because I took another L today.
Morning.
Today, man, with the Comels. Are you on the sneaker app still?
I'm not on the sneaker app.
No,
I had it. I'm trying to get like you.
There you go. All right,
Real
Tyler
quick,
Scott.
I was going to say, get his prediction.
You know? Yeah, no, I was gonna, that's exactly what I was going to say. Niners, Chiefs. Who you got this weekend?
Man, I'm going with Patrick Mahomes, man, because I think, you know, I'm looking at greatness, and I love greatness. I love watching greatness. I love it seeing it unfold in front of us. He even took the –
I know. This man's
he's not happy.
So, but I just love greatness, man. I just think what he's doing is great for the sport. You know, we had Brady leave, and just seeing what he's doing.
Yeah.
I just love appreciating that, you know, while it's here. And so I almost kind of root for the greatness.
Yeah.
You know, to transpire. But I'm going to definitely go with the Chiefs, and he got Travis Kelce, who was a Bearcat too.
Yeah, so, right, exactly.
You know, we probably got the three best. I mean, we got Sauce Gardner. We got Travis Kelce.
Hey, now.
We had Jason We probably got at least three of them positions, the best guys in the league. So, but anyways, yeah, I'm going to definitely have to go with the Kansas City Chiefs. And if I had to give a score, I'm going to go 27-24 Chiefs.
There you go. Close Tyler game. Scott, wide receiver for the Bears. Thank you so much, man, for taking the time.
Definitely.
Continued success in your career. We'll talk to you soon.
Definitely appreciate you guys.
Awesome.
All righty, let's get to a break. Styles and Watkins live from Vegas. Thanks to Jiffy Lube, Sacktown Sports. We are back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Perfect timing.
We are being joined right now by Michael Pittman Jr., Colts wide receiver. Just spoke to your teammate, Jake Martin. Mike, thanks so much for joining.
Thank you, guys. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah.
So, USC alum, right? So, Jake, we both went to Temple. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So, we had that connection. USC alum being close to Sam Darnold. Can you speak to just how Sam is probably been handling this whole situation? He's bounced around a little bit, and now Brock Purdy is really starting to elevate. And look, we all know the saying, iron sharpens iron. Can you speak to Sam's character and how he's been dealing with just a pretty unique situation?
Yeah. I mean, Sam is one of the coolest, most collect guys. And I feel like him and Brock are probably like the perfect pair, because I don't personally know Brock, but just like from what I've seen, like like they're pretty similar guys, confident guys, and really, I mean, hopefully it doesn't happen. But if Sam is called on, I think that he's going to be ready to play, and just going back to our like SC days and just like watching him ball out. I mean, just like the things that he can do are like special, and I hope he gets his next opportunity, and I think that will really be his time to shine, and people can really see like what Sam Darnold can actually do.
Yeah, and you know, you play with a good quarterback this year, or a couple actually this year. Anthony Richardson got his first sniff of NFL football this year, and then Gardner Minshew comes in, much like I would assume Sam Darnold's role was supposed to be this year. Hey, if anything goes down, we want to make sure we still have a reliable guy that's not going to – you know, sometimes when backup quarterbacks come in, I mean, there's a big drop-off between starter and backup. Can you just talk about how important it is to have a guy like a Sam Darnold, like a Gardner Minshew, that can – I mean, Anthony Richardson, what, played a month? And then, you know, your season could have been completely tanked at that point.
Yeah. So, walking back through that is he got hurt the Tennessee game, and I just remember thinking, I'm like, wow, like, what's going to happen now? And then, luckily, we had gotten lots of reps in with Gardner, so – when he stepped in, it was almost like seamless, and And now we kind of switched up the things that we did because you want to play to your or like to your quarterback strengths, which is something that Shane did like really well. And I felt like there wasn't a drop off. And that's something that you would see, and you have seen, like when Sam did come in. I think it was earlier this year when Sam came in for him, and he played well. So I expect that if he's called upon, but again, hopefully he doesn't need to be. But if he is, then I think he's going to ball out.
Yeah. Talking to Michael Pittman Jr., Colts wide receiver. So you have free agency coming up, and we know what everybody says most of the time. The athletes speak, we get it. Hey, I don't think about it. Whatever is going to happen is going to happen. You are more than able to say that, but if you could just peel back the layers of how you really feel in those moments when you're playing, you know what's on the line, but you want to enjoy your time. But we all think about the future every single day. It's just human nature.
Yeah, I mean, going back to it and really diving into it, I was kind of expecting them to sign me at the beginning of this year, before this whole season, and then we had come to a agreement that we would both wait. And I'm glad that we did, because if I would have signed back then, it probably would have been for less. And now I'm looking at potential options. So understanding they have that franchise tag too. So like it goes like both ways. And I love my time there. The people there like are great. Just like the fans there, the people that I've met. But also I told myself that I wouldn't sacrifice maximizing my career for comfortability. So if I gotta get up and go somewhere else and start fresh, then that's what I'll do. So
what kind of things are you looking for not necessarily, it doesn't have to be a new team, but with the situation that you're gonna sign up for, are you looking at quarterback, are you looking at city, is it some combination of everything?
I mean, the most important thing to me, like, is fit. So I'm looking for that offense that fits my skill set, because that's really what it's all about. Like, the NFL is all about systems and fits. And quarterback is obviously, like, one of the biggest for my position. And really just, like, I'm looking for, like, the offensive, like, not theme. I'm trying to think of the word. But – Like how an offensive coach thinks. Like, does
philosophy?
Yeah. Like, does he like to pass the ball? Does he like to run the ball?
Yeah.
And I'm looking for that pass. That's what I'm looking for.
Talking to Michael Pittman Jr., wide receiver for the Colts. Because not to name names, but we know Brandon Ayuk is a guy who a lot of people think he might be underrated because he's in a system where he's not featured as much as some other guys might be. That has to go into it. I think you've said it all beautifully. I'm not necessarily going to ask you to rank the wide receivers, but do you also feel like we're in the golden age of wide receivers? I mean, we've talked to a couple now. We were talking about back in the day, it was the Megatrons and the Randy Mosses, and they all kind of fit a certain mold. Now you can be in the slot, you can be on the outside, sizes, different
shapes. Tyreek Hill to Mike Evans.
It's just right there. Does it feel like, and especially, the bags are looking nice these days. Does it feel like you're in the golden age of wide receivers?
I think, but I also don't want to discredit, the greats that, came first, and everything that they did. But I would just say, generally, I feel like, It's like, I don't want to say easier to find a quality receiver, but I feel like there's a lot of guys out there. And we got guys coming in every single year that start fast and are playing really fast and at a high level. And I just think that it's kind of the way the NFL offense is trending. Like, if you look, like, Andy Reid really started it, right? And then you got all these young coaches off of him. You got Sean McVay, Shanahan, and, like, all those younger coaches. You got Shane, too, like, who's a young coach, maybe not necessarily, like, off the tree. But those young offensive-minded coaches, they all want to pass, and that's leading to the utilization of wideouts more, whether you're a slot guy or whether you're, like, an outside guy.
Yeah. I'm curious, something we heard, especially during the offseason, was bringing it back to Sam Darnold, was he's like a human jugs machine, I think is what they would call him. Mm-hmm. What, of course, like different routes and different situations will call for the ball in different places, but if you had to say, I like the ball right here, where is that placement?
Oh, mine is like chin, anywhere chin and neck to like top of the eyes. It's like,
because at some
like
point
right
you got the shoulder pads that kind of restrict your movement.
Well, like it really depends on like situation. Because like if there's somebody next to me, like then I want it high.
Yeah.
But
going
if I'm running across the middle, I probably don't want
it. You don't want it high. You definitely don't want it high.
So it's situational, but like general, like right around here is where it should be.
Before we get to your pick, talking to Michael Pittman Jr., it could either be a team or it could be a player. Is there somebody in the league as a wide receiver that you maybe just get up a little bit more for when you know, okay, we got him on Sunday or we have this team on Sunday, maybe just somebody in your division?
Yeah, oh, there's so many guys. I mean, there's so many. I mean, Mike Evans, because we played him this year, and it's really nice to see him finally get his flowers because I feel like people like kind of like forgot about – well, like not like forgot about him, but they don't appreciate the fact that he's doing it every single year because he does it every single year.
1,000 yards, right?
And he doesn't dance around. He doesn't talk trash. Like, he just does the job and then he goes home, right?
Yeah.
So it's just great to see him, like, get his flowers.
You know, it's funny you say that because that Netflix show came out about Johnny Manziel. Right. And I always felt like this even when Johnny was doing his thing. Who is Johnny Manziel without Mike Evans? I mean, Mike Evans was doing a lot heavy lifting back then. Yeah. Talking to Michael Pittman Jr. Before we get you out of here, man, got to get your pick for Sunday. Chiefs, Niners, who you got?
This is such a hard one. I mean, it's you never want to bet against Pat because you got two great quarterbacks going, and really I think it's going to come down to Pat and Travis Kelce. Mm-hmm. But saying that, I think the 49ers are going to win.
Wow.
But it all comes down to Pat and Travis. Mm-hmm. So if they can just have a enormous game, then like I could see it going the other way. But you look at the 49ers, look at their defense, look at their offense. They are just the most complete team, I think, like in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And that's not something that I say lightly. Like just like any time that you're thinking of them, like you're like, wow, like we got to like worry about this guy, that guy. Right. And then like go over to their offense. Like, oh, they got him and him. I mean, tight end, receivers, running back. I mean, like, linebackers, corners, their safety. So Talanoa, who is unfortunately hurt, but he was a All-Pro last year. I mean, their defense is so stacked up. Yeah. I mean, it's just crazy. And then like their D-line, everything that they got, man, crazy stuff.
There you go, Michael Pittman Jr. Thank you so much for taking the time, man, and continued success.
All right, thank you guys.
All righty, that has been Styles and Watkins. Thank you for listening. We got one more
day 2
live. From Vegas, thanks to Jiffy Lube, Sactown Sports.